second hour of the Bible study, the Ask the Pastor Hour, 505-780-2727. Our guest in this hour is Pastor Jeremy Klostermeyer, pastor at St. John Lutheran Church in Warrenton. Good morning, Pastor. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Chuck?
I'm doing all right. I like this weather, this temperature we're having here a little bit better.
Yeah, you can go outside without seeing your breath for a change.
Well, I have an announcement here that I want to pass along to folks who are listening to us. We're privileged to have, at least tentatively scheduled, if everything works out, the executive director of LCMS World Relief and Human Care, the Reverend Matt Harrison, on this afternoon when Roland Lettner is in Studio A. He is, I guess it would be appropriate to say he's the point person for the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod on disasters like the one that is underway in Haiti, given the 7.0 magnitude earthquake that took place there yesterday. And it's our hope to have him on in the 4 o'clock hour this afternoon, so those of you who are interested in what is going on in Haiti and what the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is doing in response to this disaster might want to be tuned in at 4 this afternoon. Let's talk about the Haiti situation a little bit, Pastor Klostermeyer. I have seen some of the early photographs that are coming out of Haiti. The newscaster for the Associated Press here in the news that we just aired at 11 o'clock described the images there as graphic, and they are. The devastation is horrible, and the death count is going to be extensive. And somebody somewhere is saying, what is it with this God you serve, you Christians, you people there on Ask the Pastor, you people worshiping there in Warrenton at St. John Lutheran Church? Here you have arguably the most poverty-stricken country in the Western Hemisphere. People are so poor in Haiti. I was looking at some statistics that have come out. Average annual income in Haiti is $1,300 per capita. And now this, you know, if God is God and is in control of these things, you know, there are some cities, there are some places in the Western Hemisphere that are perhaps more worthy for this kind of devastation, this kind of punishment than impoverished Haiti. How do you respond to that?
Well, first of all, we need to lift people in Haiti up in our prayers. I know that several of my friends, both pastors and other lay people, go to Haiti on mission trips and have described that even before this great tragedy happened, that there was great poverty there. And if you think that the average income, yearly income, is $1,800. Imagine that there's just a few rich people, and then, you know, the rest are extremely poor, that they don't even make, you know, even $100 a year. So it goes even beyond that. But to say that God caused this these earthquakes to happen, or that God caused Haiti to be an impoverished nation, is to speak wrongly, because God doesn't cause these things to happen. They are allowed because of the sinful world that we live in, because of the fallenness of man and the fallenness of the consequences of the fallenness of man on all of creation. In Romans it speaks of that all creation groans with eager expectation for Jesus to come back to adopt us, or to for us to receive our full adoption as children of God, so that the creation can be restored to what it formerly was before the fall. And so when we look at things like this, we can't blame God for them. We and in a way we must blame ourselves for our own sinfulness, and the natural things that happen on this world, in this world, are consequences of sin. And so, you know, we have to, in essence, blame ourselves for what happened in Haiti and what continues to happen, as I guess they're still having, I can't remember, aftershocks still today. And I heard on another newscast that it'll probably be at least 3 days before they can even get out and assess things and start rescuing and cleaning up because of all the tremors and aftershocks. So it makes you think that that God is punishing Haiti, but you know, every one of us is the pastor last hour spoke. Every one of us has problems, whether you're very rich or very poor. It's just that some problems are more easily seen, some problems are more physical, where others are mental or emotional. And so we all have problems due to the sin in our own lives and the sin in the world.
Some weeks ago, we reviewed some statistical information that had emerged in the latter part of 2009. And it all centered around, and this is what was reported in the media, it all centered around what were called the nuns. We're not talking about Catholic nuns here. We're talking about N-O-N-E-S, nuns. And they got that title from the fact that it is apparently true that more and more people filling out forms, filling out questionnaires, when they get to the question of religious affiliation, they put down none. Apparently, according to the statistics, I'm doing this off the top of my head, so I'm not sure if this is specifically correct, but a decade or so ago, 80 to 85% of the people who responded to questions like that would put down Christian or some version of the Christian faith. But that is down into the 70% range now, 70 to 75%. And you might come to the conclusion that, well, that means the atheists are on the move, are increasing, or agnostics are increasing, but the report said that's not the case. Atheists and agnostics still are 1% of the population. But what has grown is this group of people who don't necessarily embrace or affirm atheism or agnosticism, but are not willing to cast their lot with a Christian identity either. They're simply none. So, with a larger pool of people like that in play, if I may put it that way, they look at these events, they listen to people like you advancing the Trinitarian God, the God of the Bible, that omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God, and they say, how does that God allow what happened in Haiti to happen? If he's omnipotent, he could stop it, but he doesn't. And because he doesn't, I cannot affiliate religiously with him or with you, Pastor. How do you respond?
A verse comes to mind immediately. And I'm never very good at remembering where they come from, but the verse is, God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to the knowledge of the truth. Do not think that God is slow in keeping his promises, for as some consider slowness, but for God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so, he could stop it. But all of those who are in need of salvation would then perish eternally. And so, we still have suffering to go through on this earth. But as Paul says, our sufferings are not worth comparing to the ultimate riches and glory of God, the glory of his grace in paradise. And so, when we think of how can God let this happen, well, you might even say that it's a whole lot better than the eternal damnation that we would receive if we didn't come to faith. And the way that I like to think of it is God is waiting for us to get off our rear ends and go and proclaim the gospel, so that more people can save, so that he can come back, so that all who will believe in him will be saved. And so, not that our going and proclaiming the gospel is going to make him come back any faster, but he is waiting for those who will be saved to be saved before he stops it, before he stops the sin, before he stops the destruction, before he stops the consequences of sin on the earth. He's patient with us. He's patient with humanity, wanting us to come to faith in him, come back to faith in him. And another thing with these nuns, as we call them, when we think of it, many of them I found in my own life as a pastor and trying to get people to come back to church, which is a hard job, and trying to get people who were formerly in a church to reaffirm their faith. I found that a lot of them, the biggest problem they have is not necessarily with God, but it's even more with the church itself and with the problems church is having, with fights and quarrels that go within the church, and all the monkey business and the troubles that happen within the church and with pastors and the things going on around the church. So I find that to be the case just as much, if not more, than having necessarily problems with God. So when they are asked to define themselves, they might think of themselves as Christian, but they don't want to identify themselves with a particular church.
The verse that you quoted is from 2 Peter chapter 3. It's verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So for the thousands who have perished in Haiti in this earthquake, the perishing that is described here in 2 Peter chapter 3 is perishing eternally, I presume, and therefore it could be argued that the devastation that we see in Haiti is a sort of temporal glimpse into the possibility of an eternal outcome, which ought to cause us to repent. So when we look at Haiti, rather than pass judgment on God, which is what I was suggesting that some people will do, is Haiti evidence of the calamity, the judgment that rests from God on us? And if it is, how is that supposed to produce in us repentance?
Well, if we understand sin correctly, in that God is not the one responsible for our sin, and then we understand the punishment of sin being death, for the wages of sin is death, but then we often leave out the second part, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when we think of sin and the consequences of sin, if I do something wrong, I can expect to receive the consequences of it. But the earthly consequences that we have, you might think of that in the same way that we often think of the law itself, that the law acts as a curb to keep us on the right path, or the law itself shows us our sin. So the consequences of the law show us our sinfulness too, and our inability to control our life, to control our breath, and sometimes it takes a tragedy such as the one in Haiti today, or if we have a personal tragedy in our own life, it causes us to rethink our own life and think about how fragile life really is and how precious it is and how we are not in control but how God is and how when we put our faith and our trust in Him, that's how we are able to allow God to have control. That gives us peace, and that's the repentance that our Lord's talking about.
All right, let's change topics here. Have you, Pastor Klostermeyer, seen the new James Cameron blockbuster movie Avatar?
I have not seen that yet.
Have not seen it.
I'm hoping to soon.
You think you'll be seeing it?
I imagine if I don't get to see it before it's out of theaters that that'll be a rental.
Well, the movie has come onto the radar screen of the Vatican. The Vatican newspaper and radio station call the film Avatar simplistic and criticize it for flirting with modern doctrines which promote nature worship. L'Osservatore Romano says James Cameron's big-grossing 3D spectacle, quote, gets bogged down by a spiritualism linked to the worship of nature, unquote. Vatican Radio agrees that in Avatar, nature is no longer a creation to defend, but a divinity to worship. Now, since it's anticipated that Avatar will be the biggest-grossing movie in the history of the world, it's likely that some of the folks down there at St. John Warrington are going to see it. Are you concerned, as is the Vatican, that some of these messages might be harmful to the people in your church?
Well, I think in as much as they don't understand what it's talking about, we often talk about Mother Nature. I've always disliked that term because nature is not our mother, and nature doesn't have any power that doesn't come from God. And so, when we get into that sort of nature worship, and I haven't seen movies, so I can't really speak to it too much as far as how deep they get into this nature worship or this admiring of nature. You know, we as Christians admire nature as a gift of God. And so God gives us the authority, if you will, to care for and to take charge of nature as much as He has given us charge over it. And so we are to care for nature, we are to respect it, we are to keep the world clean, you know, all those different things that go along with that, recycling and not littering and doing everything we can to, keep things green, to put nature above God, which is, I guess, what the movie Avatar is doing, or to make nature God, is wrong. And so, as far as I know, though, most of the folks in my congregation would understand that to not be true, as long as they've been in Sunday school and confirmation class and those things. And so that's where a lot of our education comes in, and being taught the scriptures and taught that God is the creator, that He is not to be worshipped above anything else, First Commandment, and all of those different things. So I guess I'm not too worried about it. I'm sure that those things kind of creep into the mind every once in a while, and this movie isn't doing anything to help that idea or the knowledge of God as creator, I'm not hearing too much about it myself.
Do you think that there is a current, an undercurrent in our culture today, a real undercurrent, which is suggesting or advancing the notion that nature, Mother Nature, planet Earth, really ought to be a higher priority for people from a spiritual perspective than some religious tradition handed down to us from a bunch of dead guys from 2,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago?
Oh, yeah, I think most definitely there's a big part of our population and the world's population that, whether they would say that Earth is our God or not, they would say that Earth is what is sustaining us, or something of that nature, that if we don't take care of the Earth is going to be destroyed. So it's up to us to keep the Earth from being destroyed. Or it's, you know, the Earth is going to get mad at us for treating it the way our Mother Nature is going to look down upon us angrily and cause our demise or things like that. And so there is a definite, I would even call it a religion, where maybe the Earth is not worshipped, but the whole person's life revolves around saving the Earth, you know, doing what you can to keep, or doing everything within your power to make sure everybody knows that that they need to be green and all those things. So it can become a religion unto itself.
You know, the folks who are who can be influenced here are young people. Older people probably don't go to the movies all that often, every once in a while. Have seen pretty much everything that can be seen in life. Middle-aged people, something of the same thing, can enjoy a movie for whatever entertainment value it offers. But young people, teenagers, 20-somethings, maybe even 30-somethings, might be more vulnerable to a Mother Nature is God kind of a message, whether it's subliminal or whether it's right out there. Apparently it's out there enough that the Vatican is disturbed. And I wonder if you have a concern for the teenagers and the 20-somethings in your congregation, probably just about all of whom are going to see this movie.
Yeah, I don't really, I have, for most of the teenagers anyway, I have at least three-fourths of them, I have, you know, bi-weekly contact, or I talk with them quite often, and I know where they're coming from. Most teenagers I know are.
But you know what, Pastor? I mean, I know that you are a. I know you're a really cool guy, but I don't know if you're as cool as Avatar.
Yeah, I know that. For someone who is weak in faith, or who doesn't understand what God reveals to us in Scripture, or doesn't know how God reveals himself and doesn't understand the relationship between the creation and the Creator, I would be worried about. And that is why we have to be constantly teaching and preaching and sharing the whole counsel of God, the Word of God, with people so they understand that this is just creation. It's not the Creator. We cannot worship the creation as if it is the Creator. And so I guess I would be a little bit worried about it, but there's a lot of other things. You know, it's not on my list to go out and hit the streets and proclaim that Avatar is a terrible movie and that no one should go see it. I guess is how I'd put it.
You got a, what, 11-year-old son, don't you?
He's 6 and my daughter's 8.
Oh, 6 and 8?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I have your family confused with another. Yeah, the 6-year-old, the 8-year-old are probably not going to be seeing Avatar. All right, let's take our bottom of the hour break here. We're talking with Pastor Jeremy Klostermeyer, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dr. Bill Meyer for Focus on the Family's Weekend Magazine. Coming up this weekend, how a teen girl found God in foster care, the impact of abortion on women and on men, and responding to a 14-year-old girl who wants to date. That's all coming up this weekend on Weekend Magazine.
Saturday mornings at 10 on KFUO Radio.
Christ Memorial Lutheran Church is sponsoring as an outreach the showing of the movie The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry at Ronnie's 20 Cine, January 15th through the 21st. It's an inspiring film for viewers ages 8 through 80 years old. Three 12-year-old boys are looking forward to a summer of fun in 1970. Jonathan Sperry, played by Gavin McLeod, develops a friendship with the boys that makes this summer the summer they'll never forget. It's a family film about living out your faith in a hurting world, and tickets may be purchased at the theater.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The International Planned Parenthood Federation is at war with unborn babies by promoting abortion throughout the world. Their performance report is out for the last year. This behemoth of the abortion industry killed well over 1 million innocent unborn babies in the past year. It's almost double the number they killed the year before. All this bloodletting, and still they're not satisfied. In the report, they brag about targeting nations like Ireland and Spain that generally protect their unborn citizens. And Planned Parenthood is getting hundreds of millions of your tax dollars to fund their deadly agenda. Plus, they have the help of the United Nations and the European Union. A war has been raging against the world's most vulnerable, unborn babies. And what are you doing to help them?
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Haitian Terror. I'm Steve Coleman with today's Religion Roundup. An email received from a missionary near the epicenter of Tuesday's 7.0 magnitude earthquake in Haiti reports shock and devastation. Harvey Gamble of Baptist Haiti Mission Canada says missionary Roger Clark sent this message from the area about 10 miles west of the capital, Port-au-Prince.
Pray for the people of Haiti. Many buildings have collapsed. A three-story building a block from us collapsed, and many others in the area have collapsed. Also, a gas station was set on fire 1 mile from us.
Gamble says Haiti's shoddy construction and poor infrastructure virtually guarantee massive damage and casualties in areas that will be difficult to reach.
The worst thing is how they're going to deal with this. They just don't have the capacity, medically or otherwise, to deal with this kind of a disaster or tragedy.
A spokeswoman for Catholic Relief Services says their representative in Port-au-Prince told U.S. colleagues before phone service failed that there must be thousands of people dead. I'm Steve Coleman.
It's called apologetics and does not mean that we are apologizing for our faith. Instead, the term refers to a defense of the faith. There are those who are encouraging a new apologetics for our day. Do you need some advice as to how to defend the Christian faith to those of your friends and relatives? It's the next Law and Gospel. Listen live weeknights at 6 p.m. on the web or on demand at KFUO.org.
On the next Lamplighter Theater.
I cannot help but speak of the one who loves me.
Jesus?
Yes. Jesus is still teaching me about his boundless love. I long to have the same love for him and for others.
The Christian has to be dealt with.
Why?
He has been talking to my parents about his religion. We kill the infidel tonight.
Don't miss the next Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on KFUO Radio.
You're listening to the Bible study. I'm interested if those of you who are listening to us are concerned about the messages that are in the movie Avatar. I'm quite sure that many of the folks who listen to this program will be seeing that movie. Maybe down the road we can get some impressions from that. We're talking today with Pastor Jeremy Klostermeyer, pastor at St. John Lutheran Church in Warrenton. Our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you would like to join us with a question or a comment. Pastor Klostermeyer, some folks will say something like this. Oh, there you go again, Chuck. Oh, boy, this is just, it's really frustrating. You and the pastor here ranting and raving about Avatar. Well, at least Chuck is. I don't know about Pastor Klostermeyer. look, it's a movie, okay? When Jurassic Park came out all those years ago, all you goofy Christians, you all went crazy about evolution and you were worried about the messages. It's just a movie. And when Titanic came out and became the biggest grossing movie ever, you all went crazy about the sexual themes in the movie. And now here you go again, Avatar. Okay, it's a science fiction kind of a movie. It's full of special effects. It's just a great movie, and a billion people are probably going to see it. And you people just need to relax. What do you say?
Well, first of all, I asked if my kids had seen the movie, and usually we go together as a family to movies, and that way we can talk about them and about things that they would talk about in the movie. So I might take my kids to that movie, and I'm not sure how much bad stuff is in it. Bad words and things like that. If there's too much of that, I won't. But I'm just. It's a good thing. It's a good teaching tool, if you will, to show. You know, you watch the movie and then you go home, or maybe with you go see it as a whole youth group, and then you talk about all the things in the movie. I know Pastor Cox, when he used to teach at Lutheran High in St. Charles, would have his religion class view movies, and then they would talk about the theology in those movies. And so I don't think it's something that we need to be afraid of or shun, but at the same time we need to teach the right things so that the young people can grow up knowing what is right and knowing the difference between right and wrong and knowing how to share the right, share the good news, share God's word with others so that those who are weak in their faith can understand it. You know, but to answer your question, we can never take the first commandment too seriously. By that I mean the first commandment needs to be obeyed. It needs to be held in front of our eyes. As it says in Deuteronomy, talk about them when you walk down the road, when you get up, when you lie down. We should always have those in front of us so that we can remain strong in our faith and grow in our faith. Because the devil works on us when we least expect it. And so at places like movies, he's working on our mind, he's working on our conscience to cause us to sin, to cause us to forget God, to cause us to put God behind us so that we can live our lives the way we want to, instead of the way God wants us to.
Now, here's another question I have for you. I'm sure you're familiar with Joel Osteen. He is the pastor at what is apparently America's biggest church, Lakewood Church down in Houston. He has been in a bit of controversy, has drawn some flack from the press and the public in the past few months over his comments regarding homosexuality. Last year, he addressed that question on The View and also Larry King Live and said, quote, homosexuality is not God's best, unquote. That remark drew fire from the gay rights community and from Christians for avoiding to identify the behavior as sin. More recently, his participation in the inauguration of Houston's first openly gay mayor has also drawn some attention. He was invited to offer the opening prayer at the inauguration of Houston's elected city officials on Monday. While praying for the 14-member city council, he also specifically thanked God for the new mayor, Anise Parker, who is a partnered lesbian. Quote, she's our mayor. Joel doesn't view Anise through a gay lens. That's from Don Iloff, Jr. He's spokesman for Lakewood Church in Houston. He added, he sees her as a person. And the Bible instructs believers to pray for and respect those who govern us. So, Pastor, if you were in Joel Osteen's position and were invited to be the person who offers the prayer at an inauguration, the installation of a new city council, how would you handle that?
Well, I first wonder why they would be praying to God when they know that, you know, or I should even say, I would wonder why they would invite a Christian pastor who they know is staying biblically, which I applaud Osteen for, even though he wasn't very strong in his comments. You know, why they would invite him to pray when he made such comments before. You know, is it that he's popular and everybody would like to hear him, or what might it be? So I would do the same as Osteen did, and I would respectfully decline to do that. At the same time, I would pray for, as was mentioned from Timothy, that we should pray for those in authority, and also the Lord tells us to pray for our enemies and for those who persecute us. So, but to pray for God's blessings upon the council, you know, it's kind of up in the air thing. Am I then showing my acceptance to the mayor in her gay lifestyle? What am I showing by my prayer there in the public is what we have to be worried about. And so, you know, it'd be a tough thing to turn down, but I think that I probably would have to turn it down.
505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Hi, John. You're on the Bible study.
Good morning. How are you, gentlemen, today?
Doing well. How are you?
Fantastic. I had a quick comment, and I'll get off of here, is kind of a comment/question. And basically, I was curious to know, through my search that I had been doing to find a church and faith and things of that nature, there seemed to be a very large movement of, 20-somethings, 30-somethings, a lot of folks finding and going to what I call a non-creedal style churches. They call themselves Christian. They have a lot of contemporary music. You know, they do a lot of different style of things. And it seems as if they're starting to get a pretty good size of following. My question's part of the comment section was, you know, do a lot of these movies that are coming out, is that influencing a lot of these people that's actually moving away and going to these style of churches? And, you know, if that be the case, even on the homosexuality thing, it seems as if there's a movement within society to make that a minority type of thing. I don't know. Is that just my imagination, or is a lot of this really happening?
All right.
I'll get off here so you guys can give that answer.
Thank you, John. Pastor,
Thank
any
you.
Thoughts?
Well, as I, it sounds like a good way to look at things. The whole idea of postmodernism and relativism, that what you believe is good for you and what I believe is good for me, and we don't need to discuss those things because we don't want to offend each other. And the need and the want for people to believe what they want without hindrance and without, I can't think of the word, but without, you know, being blocked in by creeds or by statements of faith. You know, people don't like to be held accountable. People don't like to be burdened with the law when they need to be. And so a lot of these churches, yeah, they are that way. And it's part of our culture that more things are acceptable than the open acceptable than they have ever been. So when we think of going back to the whole idea of sin and the consequences of sin, you know, the more sin there is, the more consequences there will be. So we need to launch ourselves in that way, especially as creedal churches. I like that term, creedal versus non-creedal. Most would call, or I'd say, denominational versus non-denominational churches. We need to watch ourselves as creedal churches, that we hold fast to what we believe and teach and confess, so that we are showing God's Word and the light of God's Word and all of its truth, so that people can understand where we come from.
Would you say that in a culture where blockbuster movies, very, very popular movies, are advancing perspectives on things like planet worship or Mother Nature divinity or whatever it is that the Vatican seems to be alarmed about, that belonging to a church where a specific creed is recited, or maybe even all three of the so-called ecumenical creeds, is a defense against the creeping in of other perspectives, other spiritualities, things like that. Is the creed, is having a creed in your regular worship experience a defense against that?
I think it is. That's how we teach the Apostles' Creed in confirmation class. That was the reason for such creeds as the Nicene Creed and the Athanasian Creed, was a defense against false teaching. And I think that's what it should be used for, knowing that what we have in our creeds are taken directly from God's Word, that they aren't made up by humans just out of the blue, but that they come from God's Word and they are expositions of God's Word, as we say. There are several Christian denominations that would say that because these creeds are not directly scripture, in other words, they're not just scripture put on a different piece of paper, that they aren't good, that they aren't right. But we know as Christians, as Lutheran Christians especially, and as Roman Catholic Christians and several others, that the creeds that we have come directly from Scripture and are just a restating of Scripture to defend against false teachings. So, yeah, I think that's what we are trying to do, is try to defend against those false teachings that continue to creep in and have been since the beginning.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Karen. You're on the Bible study.
Hi, Pastor. How are you? I just wanted to call and say that wasn't it just recently that the Catholic Pope had said that possibly evolution was a believable concept? So why would they be shocked that naturalism was becoming a deity? That goes hand in hand. You know, they're kind of opening the door for that.
All right. Let's see what Pastor has to say. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
That voice sounded familiar. So I just wanted to say thanks. Thanks, dear.
Well, it sounds like she's posed a bit of a tough question for you here.
Yeah. She likes to do that from time to time. But, no... What she's saying is right, that the Roman Catholic Church has accepted various parts of evolution, and it does seem to be as though they're speaking out of both sides of their mouth on this. But at the same time, they still believe in one God. They still believe that in the Trinity, as far as I know. And so they just have a skewed view of Genesis, the creation account, that it's kind of a creation-evolution hybrid type thing, as far as I can tell, with the Roman Catholic Church. And the idea there is, between the Lutheran Church and the Roman Catholic Church, is their elevation of tradition and their elevation of the Pope as a supreme authority instead of Scripture as the only supreme authority is why we have the Roman Catholic Church, or why not everybody is Roman Catholic, why we have the Lutheran Church, and why we had the Reformation in the first place. And so it gets kind of confusing with them as to what is wrong and what is right. Do they believe in creation, that God is the creator, or do they believe that it's evolution? And so they need to be more clear on that, you might say.
The numbers here are 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. Down the road, Pastor, there'll be another movie, there'll be another television program, and there will be a kind of a process which seems to be walking away from what we would call creedal Christianity into something else, whether it's Mother Nature worship or whatever it is. You are interested in stemming the tide on that, are you not?
Yeah, I am. And that's why we spend, my 7th and 8th graders spend 2 years in confirmation class, so that they understand that, so that they understand what it means to be, to have Scripture as supreme authority, what it means to, that we have Scripture, interpret Scripture, and those types of things, that we are not putting ourselves above God's Word, but that God's Word is supreme and true. And I have this idea that what I believe is fine and what you believe is fine, we can be united. I'm not sure what a church would then be united on. It can even come down to the basic of Jesus dying on the cross for us, whether you believe that it was a true propitiation for sin, or whether it was just Jesus showing us how to live, or how to be. And so when you get into those kinds of churches, the big problem we have is that they are drawing people away from our own church. So we need to stem the tide, so to speak, and it's a hard thing to do, because those places and those types of things are very popular. You know, they're exciting. People want to go to a church where there's a lot of other people. People want to be in a place where they're made to feel good. Who wouldn't want to? You know, that's why we go to movies in the first place, to feel good, to have entertainment. And so that's why they are exciting. That's why they continue to grow. And all under a Christian theme, a Christian view, or on site, they are mostly Christian, but in a lot of their teachings, they're steering people away from Christ.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Bill, you're on the Bible study.
Yes, good morning to both of you today. The comment I was going to make is that when movies first came out in the late 1800s, like maybe the 1890s, early 1900s, up until the 30s or 40s, in a lot of the movies, a lot of things were pretty much pornography in there, and there was a lot of wildness in those early movies. And I think in the 30s they started having this review board that kind of censored the movies. A lot of stuff, bad stuff that is portrayed in movies, even nowadays, again, it seems like since the 60s they've really gotten pretty rough. Even the late 50s they started coming out with a lot of stuff that was a little bit, if you ask me, pretty pornography type of movies.
So, Bill, and you're saying that there's nothing new under the sun?
Right. And the thing I want to make a comment is, you know, a lot of these actors and actresses, even nowadays, some of them claim to be Christian, and yet they'll play these movies where they're nude, there's sexual scenes, there's terrible language. Many people that claim to be Christian have used the foulest language. And I just wondered, if these people are truly Christian, why can't they make a stand and say, well, I'll play in the movie, but I will not say this or I will not say that. If you want to dub it in with somebody else's voice or if you want to put somebody else in that news scene, I'm not going to do it. And I just want people just take that and then, you know, they'll see this person, they'll say, oh, that's a Christian person, but they played in these movies that
all
are
right.
terrible. Okay, Pastor, I'll have them.
Thanks for the call. Pastor, any thoughts?
One guy that I have a lot of respect for is Kirk Cameron because he does a lot of Christian movies, a lot of wholesome movies like Fireproof is the new one that, you know, if it had any media at all, it would have broken a lot of records on things, too. It was a great movie. And so he has basically said that he's not going to do movies that are degrading or that show his Christianity in a bad light. But we also always need to remember that even ourselves as Christians, we don't always provide the best example. So we need to make sure that we are judging ourselves first as well. But again, that goes, getting back to the point, that goes with the whole idea of what's good for me is good for me, and what's good for you is good for you. God doesn't really mind if I show all my skin, or, you know, that's what I think is fine, or God doesn't really care if I say some bad words here and there, or, you know, those kinds of things. And it becomes, you'd call the watering down of Christianity, watering down of life. Instead of confessing and repenting, we tend to just allow it and let it be. And we as Christians in our own personal lives need to be about turning away from those things and turning to God.
Pastor, do you and your fellow pastors have an obligation as shepherds to see this movie so that you can be prepared to evaluate its influence for yourself and speak to it when the subject comes up among the people that you shepherd?
I think it's a good idea. An obligation, whether I have to see it. You might deal with it on a case-by-case basis if someone comes and talks to you about it or something like that, maybe. But I think it's a good idea to go and see things like that to make yourself aware of what's going on in the world, and to be in the lines of your parishioners is very important. Not to stay away from people in their lives, but to share life with them so that they can see that you are caring for them and loving them, and so that you are no different than them, that you experience the same temptations and things that they do, but to give them an example of how to deal with those temptations as well.
Well, if you and Karen go see the movie, send me an email, will you, and let me know what your impressions were. And make sure you take about $60, because I think popcorn is like $30 now, and a medium drink
and
is
that's
like...
one thing we got to watch out for these days, is spending too much money on those frivolous things.
Pastor Jeremy Klostermeyer, thank you, sir. God's blessings to you and the folks at St. John Warrenton.
And also with you.
All righty. Pastor Jeremy Klostermeyer, our guest here on our Ask the Pastor Hour. Tomorrow, Revelation 22, verses 1 through 6, with our friend from Historic Trinity Lutheran Church in Soulard. That'll be Pastor David Marth. And then in our Ask the Pastor Hour tomorrow, Pastor Ken Wagner from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Macomb, Michigan. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the phone calls.
Listen to Chuck Rathard and guests Monday through Friday at the same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the internet at kfuo.org. For a free copy of the Bible Study, please visit the audio archive section of our homepage. That's kfuo.org. The Bible Study is a broadcast service of Worldwide KFUO.